Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
It sounds bizarre. It sounds tragic and bizarre at the same time. A minor euthanized in Belgium. You think, what possible circumstance, what possible set of laws have to be in place in order to permit someone who is legally not able to give informed consent to be euthanized by a doctor? And, well, it does make news, but how big news is it when it comes to the progress, the onward march of the euthanasia movement, the death, well, really, physician-assisted suicide, or if you want to kill yourself, that's fine, the suicide movement. We're going to answer that question here on this Monday afternoon, September the 19th. Joining us to do so, Rita Marker. She's Executive Director of the Patients' Rights Council and author of the book Deadly Compassion. Rita, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Why is this euthanizing of a child in Belgium a major landmark for the euthanasia movement?
Well, it actually isn't. It's being made a major landmark by those in Belgium, but in fact, the law permitting euthanasia of children was passed in February of 2014. And this is the first reported case, and I guess they wanted some publicity for some reason.
So tell us the story. What happened here?
Well, as far as what we know, it's been reported by Wim de Stelmans, who is the person, the physician in charge of making sure the law is followed, which I'll explain to you in a minute, his background. But he announced this and said that it had been reported. It's, you've heard of the fox guarding the hen house. Wim de Stelmans, who was the major person announcing this and is the one who is to look over all the cases to make sure that they follow the law, is the major euthanizing doctor in Belgium. So this has become a very big thing there. And Belgium, as I mentioned to you, 2 years ago passed a law saying for children as well as for adults. And now, the Netherlands permits it for children requesting it on their own from age 12 on up, but also parents can request it for infants to children. That's called a Groningen protocol. So this really isn't new, but it's an attempt by those in Belgium and the Netherlands to just kind of focus a bit more on it. And when we say this is, you know, this case has been reported, we don't know how many others there were.
This is just potentially the tip of the iceberg?
Sure. Sure, it's the tip of the iceberg, and whenever you legalize anything, whether it be doctor-prescribed suicide or euthanasia by lethal injection, which is carried out in Belgium and in the Netherlands, whenever you do that, there's really no way then of knowing exactly what's happening. To bring it back to the United States, for example, those who are promoting doctor-prescribed suicide across the country say that in Oregon, it's taking place without any abuse and without any problems. Well, there's just one problem with that. They leave out a word, and the word is without any reported abuse. All of the information that gets into the official reports is provided by the very doctors who are carrying this out or those who are filling the prescriptions. There's no information otherwise. And on top of that, while the law says the patient has to knowingly and willingly request it, there's no way of knowing whether they knowingly and willingly took the deadly overdose of drugs. So once it is legalized, there's really no way of knowing.
Where do we stand today in the United States with respect to this issue? Who can be legally, who and where can people be legally euthanized?
Well, they can't be legally euthanized in the United States. Euthanasia means that someone else actually does the last act which causes death, for example, giving a lethal injection. What is legal in the United States, in four states, and there's an iffy situation in the fifth one, I'll explain that to you in a minute. But in Oregon, Washington, Vermont, and California, doctor-prescribed suicide is legal. The crime of assisted suicide was transformed in those states into a medical treatment so that a doctor can write a prescription, an intentional prescription, for a deadly overdose of drugs, which is usually about 100 capsules of a barbiturate. That is considered a legitimate medical treatment. In those states, you could be standing behind someone in a pharmacy waiting for your antibiotics and hear the pharmacist saying, take all this with a light stack and alcohol to cause death. And one thing about that is that that particular prescription is far less expensive than most other prescriptions. So again, once you make this a medical treatment, what you've done is made it the least expensive medical treatment and the one which insurance companies, be they governmental or private, are far more apt to authorize because they're less expensive than other medical treatments. Now, in Montana, sometimes people say it's legal there. Technically speaking, it isn't legal. However, the Montana Supreme Court found a couple years ago, in fact, on New Year's Eve in 2009, said that if a doctor prescribes this for a patient, and if that doctor is charged with a crime, then that doctor can use the patient's consent as a defense. So it wasn't technically transformed into a medical treatment, but there's not a prosecutor in Montana who's going to bring a charge against a doctor there. Now, that's where it stands right now. But in virtually every state, there is a push to make this legal. In Colorado, in November, there will be something called Proposition 106 on the ballot, and that would make it legal as well in Colorado. In other states, in their legislatures, it is also pending. So when people are thinking about this and they think, oh, that's awful, well, you know, if all I do is hear this and say, oh, that's awful, that's useless. You know, you and I are providing them with entertainment on the radio. Unless people are willing to do something, unless people are willing to let others know how very, very dangerous this is, it is going to be coming to a pharmacy near you.
It starts with that we simply want to euthanize those who can give informed consent and are
trauma. No, in the United States, it's doctor-prescribed suicide, not euthanasia.
Okay, so it becomes doctor-prescribed suicide for those who are, say, terminally ill. Are there other circumstances where doctors can prescribe?
No, in the United States, it says that the person is supposed to be terminally ill, and two doctors are supposed to say they have a life expectancy of 6 months. Now, lots of times doctors are right when they say that's the life expectancy, but lots of times they're wrong. It's kind of like, do you ever watch the weather forecast on TV, and you say, oh, what's the weather going to be like? And there's a prediction. But that doesn't always turn out to be true. On top of that, if the patient is told they have 6 months to live, and if they, for example, request this, if they take it home and they put it in their medicine cabinet just in case, and all the so-called safeguards stop the minute they get that prescription, suppose somebody forces them to take it or tricks them into taking it, they'll be dead. There is no way of knowing whether they could have lived a lot longer or would have wanted to live a lot longer. So this prediction of a 6 month life expectancy becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Now, is it limited to the terminally ill, or are the activists wanting to limit it to the terminally ill?
Well, the activists are saying that they want it for the terminally ill. However, I do know, and having debated virtually every activist who is promoting this, not in only in the United States, but also in other countries, I do know that what they have said in the past when they first started out on this was that it should be wide open and available. But then they realized that people weren't all in favor of that. So they decided to take it gradually, and that's what they are doing. They would right now say, oh, no, we don't want that. But let's be logical about this. They say that this is something that is a matter of autonomy and that it's to end suffering. And we're not talking just here about physical suffering, but emotional suffering, as in Belgium. You don't have to have a physical illness in Belgium to be able to get a lethal injection there. But when they use those two reasons, autonomy and suffering, then why, logically, would it be just only for people who have 6 months to live? And why, if it's autonomy, why would you have to have a doctor say that you're eligible? Their very arguments argue against themselves. Or suppose you say it's to end suffering, and I'm talking here about either emotional or physical suffering, and you say it's only for adults. Well, why would you have it only for adults? Wouldn't it be something, if this is a good thing to end suffering, why shouldn't it be for children or anyone else? So we have to look at the basis that they have for this and to recognize that their intent is, in fact, for it to be wide open, legal for anyone at any time for any reason. But right now in the United States, it's being promoted only supposedly for those who have 6 months to live. And when those of us who are concerned about it are looking at it And when we're helping other people recognize the dangers of it, we should stick within the four corners of the law that either exists or that's being proposed and not go on to the whole idea of the slippery slope, because there is enough that is horrible about the laws that are now on the books in California, Washington, Oregon, and Vermont and are being proposed in other places. There's enough there that if we look just within the four corners of those laws and say, yes, this is how it can be carried out, that's enough of, you know, that's all we need to do. The other side, if we start taking it down that slippery slope and say, oh, no, that's not going to happen. And we have to recognize that we need to help people realize what it is.
Finally, then, what's the bottom line that our listeners need to know about this story coming out of Belgium about a youth being euthanized?
Well, that it's a tragedy. No question about being a tragedy. But people have to look also in their own backyard and say, okay, what's happening here? What is happening here in Oregon, Washington, Vermont, and California is also a tragedy. And if they are in the United States, depending on what state they live in, they're going to be facing this too unless they do something. If they're just looking at Belgium, they can say, oh, well, that's over in Belgium. Well, that may be in Belgium right now, but we need to look at what's happening here. And I would strongly ask the people who are listening to go up to our website, which is patientsrightscouncil.org, and to see what's happening here. They can go to the site map and click on the name of their state and see what's happening in their state, what has been proposed there. And if they have questions, they can always give us a call.
Rita Marker is Executive Director of the Patients' Rights Council and author of the book Deadly Compassion. You'll find a link to both at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rita, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It was good talking to you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to begin a new series called Classroom Apologetics. We're going to be talking with Dr. Angus Manouge about the philosophy classroom. You got to take something of this nature in your core courses in college or university. What kind of challenges does a faithful Christian meet there in the philosophy classroom? And more importantly, how do they respond to those challenges? A new series, Classroom Apologetics, on Issues, Etc., in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutherans talk a lot about doctrine, liturgy, and vocation, but as Martin Luther would say, what does this mean? In a book called Didache, Issues Etc. regular guest Professor John Pless brings together the Bible, the small catechism, and the hymnal to teach the faith. He shows how what we believe is expressed in our daily lives and in our worship. You can find Didache online at emmanuelpress.us.